Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your almost round one recap of this week's Memorial. And joining me to break it all down, it is Greg Ducharme. Greg, hey.
I think it's safe to call this the day one recap of
Memorial,
right? It's day one. So tomorrow, I'm with you again tomorrow too. So tomorrow we'll have our day two recap. I'm looking forward to both.
Day one recap at the Memorial. Not a lot of golf played in Dublin, Ohio, but Greg, before we jump in, a lot of golf played by yours truly this morning out in 100-degree heat in Las Vegas. I got 18 holes in and I played Bear's Best, which if you're unfamiliar, is a Jack Nicklaus design. We'll talk about that. But before I get into it, how many Jack Nicklaus designed courses do you think there are? I think this is worldwide.
Okay. I am going to guess. I know you're watching me stammer. So You told me you were going to ask me this question before we came on the air. Yep. Just before. I mean, we're talking
like right before Jacob hit the intro.
A countdown away, 40 yep. seconds away. And I had no idea. But I'm now thinking back to something that I read. I want to say 140.
It's not bad. Jacob said 150. It's 270 is the
270. Answer. Oh, yeah. Wow. I know he has some. Now that you mentioned that, I started thinking, and I can see this list of all the courses. There's some in Korea. I mean, they are all over the world. As far east as Korea, as far west as Las Vegas.
As you probably know, more west than that.
Yeah, probably more west than that. I bet he has one in Hawaii. I don't know for sure, but
I would bet. So what they do is basically Bear's Best sticks to just kind of like the southwest of the United States because that's the type of course that we have to put together. And it recreates one hole from signature courses in that area. So there's 18 kind of different holes that you're playing, all a nod to a different hole from a different course. So they have the 18th at PGA West remodeled here at Bear's Best.
Very cool. So now the name makes total sense.
Now it makes sense.
They have a golf course like this in Myrtle Beach, which I've never
played. There's also one somewhere. One of them's called Renditions. Is that the one in Myrtle Beach?
Renditions. No, I don't think so. It doesn't ring a bell. But there is one in Myrtle Beach that's like a world. It's not Jack Nicklaus courses, but it's all courses from all over the world. I think they may have like the 17th at Sawgrass remodeled there. Maybe the 12th at Augusta remodeled as best he can.
Renditions is in Maryland, and they have the Island Green. They have Amen Corner. They have a hole from Oakmont and Shinnecock Hill. So that's a pretty popular thing to do.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? You take what the best architects in the world have done and copy them.
Yeah.
Copy all of them. Why wouldn't you do it? It's like an all-star team. How'd you play?
Actually, I didn't really play particularly well on the front nine. That course is it's very easy to make a double bogey around there. And it's one of those courses you play a couple times, I'd knock five strokes off. I shot an 85 and I shot a 39 on we started on 10. So my second nine, I shot a 39, which was three over.
Wow, that's quite a turnaround.
Yes. I started to figure it out. The greens were slower than I thought. I started to strike the ball better and I played a lot better.
And yes, by the way, Jacob is right. It's World Tour Golf Links.
That's it.
Beach. That's it. That's it. Anyway, but hey, 30, that's good. That's a good plan.
Thank you.
I have a feeling you like to fade the ball. You go out there and play well at a jet. You like to fade it, work it a little left to right, just like the Golden Bear himself.
It's unintentional, but it certainly is the direction that my ball moves. The direction that Colin Morikawa's ball moves, whichever direction he wants, because he went out and he shot a 6-under 66 on Thursday, day one of this event. He had 7 birdies offset with 1 bogey. He made that on number 18, which was his 9th hole of the day. And he looked like vintage Morikawa, Greg. He gained 3 strokes on approach, which as of this moment is 2nd best in this field. He was a gainer with the putter, and I think the larger story is he went back to the blade, trying to find some magic with the flat stick, getting away from that. I think he was using a 2-ball for some time, is using a mallet style, using the blade this week.
Yeah, which again, I think it's a sign. Look, the best putters of all time typically stick with one putter. Maybe there's a couple of changes here and there, but for the most part, they're not routinely changing putters. Jim Furyk's a guy who's a great putter who changes, not because of poor putting. He just changes. He likes that. That's pretty rare. But for guys who struggle with putting and are looking for something, looking for an improvement, looking for a spark, I like this. I like a move like this for a Colin Morikawa. I like a move like that for a Dustin Johnson, because it can light a spark and it can make a difference. And if it lasts 1 week, well, you end up holding a trophy because you got a spark that week. And now it may not last, and that's okay because nobody wins every week. So yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It seemed to light a spark for him today. But I think the biggest thing, Rick, while that's an important part of this, I think the biggest deal is he said he got his cut back. Just like you, he's able to start everything down the left side and cut it. And he feels like he got away from that for a while. So
yeah,
back with the cut, back with the putter, with the blade putter. I think there's a lot of really good signs from this round.
His round was really only disrupted, I believe, once. So we had a couple of weather delays, suspended at 12:46 Eastern. They had a 2-hour delay. I think that's the big one that got the early guys. And then it was suspended again at 4:17. That is kind of when the afternoon waves started going out. So really what we have is we have Colin Morikawa at the top. We have Adam Long at 5-under par, 1 shot back. We have a plethora of golfers at 4-under. I want to talk about one of them in particular, Greg. But what we also have is essentially the entire afternoon wave, only a couple of holes in. Jordan Spieth played 3 holes, 1-under par. He is going to have, along with a lot of his peers, a very long Friday, because he's not only going to have to play the final 15 holes of his first round, he's going to have to play 18 more of his second round. Those guys are going to need some power bars in the bag, maybe some Gatorades. I don't know what they like to chew on and munch on, but they're going to need some energy.
Yeah, because you're gonna go straight through, right? You're gonna play if you're designed to play late early. Now all of a sudden you're early late in the same day, so you're gonna get out there 7:30 wherever you are. You'll go start, you'll tee off, you'll finish your round, and you basically turn around and do it again. So, like you said, Rick, pack a lunch. I wouldn't advise any milkshakes tonight. Hopefully, you know, you're winding down right now as we speak. Right. And then from there, you know, you take it as it goes. The frustrating thing is the starting and the stopping. So Jordan is not, I'm not overly concerned with Jordan. You're so early on into the round. You got to play basically 33 holes tomorrow. It's going to be a long day. Hopefully, you get it going early and you have a late Saturday. That's what you hope. And if Jordan does anything like he's been doing, he will have a late Saturday. But starting and stopping is extremely frustrating. Waiting for an update only to get a new time for our next update is never fun. There was a lot of that today. It can be frustrating.
Yeah, a lot of. The update is there'll be another update in 30 minutes, which is not fun. You know who did not have fun? And we don't have a lot of analysis on the afternoon guys. And there's one guy I want to circle back to, but I'm just looking through some of these scores because we don't usually get an opportunity to see stuff like this, Greg. Patton Kizzire might not sleep so well. He played 1 hole. He made a triple bogey on it. He is 3 over through 1 hole, and he is set for 35 holes on Friday. I almost feel bad for him, right? Like this is not the 1 hole you wanted to play.
No, it's no fun. it's no fun at all. But what are you going to do? Like, in one way, in one regard, it's a good thing because you get a reset. So what happens after a triple bogey? Well, you're not feeling great. But now you go out tomorrow and you reset and you say, okay, look, this is where I am. I need to go and attack now. And so that late tee time, there is a silver lining here. And you have to find it if you're a player going through this, because it's very easy to say, oh, I have to play all these holes tomorrow. How unfair this is for me. Well, you got to look at this as an advantage, because now you get an opportunity to go out in the morning. Your first round now is a morning round rather than a late round. I know your second round creeps into the later time, but you got to try to find a silver lining here. So if you're Patton Kizzire, you go out there, you know where you have to attack. There's no playing defense. There's no playing safe. It's pin your ears back, aggressive time, and it's in the morning. It could be a good thing. It's a great opportunity to reset.
And there's also a chance that the guys who did finish on Thursday are going to have to play a couple holes of their second round on Saturday, depending on how long all of this takes. So they might just be getting it on the other side. So it all evens out over time. The one guy that I did want to circle back to was Xander Schauffele, 4 under 68, the best round he has ever shot at Mirfield Village, 5 birdies, 1 bogey, that bogey coming on the par 3 8th. And the big thing with Xander is that he unveiled the arm lock putter. He's now got that big grip, rolling it up the arm. And this is something we have seen others adopt recently. And I would never have described Xander as a poor putter, but maybe just looking for something to get him over the finish line, Greg.
Yeah, I haven't heard him speak on it very much yet, and I'm looking forward to it. But I will say this. Xander's always been a left-hand low guy, at least in recent, last year and this year, he's been a left-hand low guy. And I think for a left-hand low player, the transition to arm lock is a little bit smoother. The two kind of go together, where your left arm in left-hand low is, in a way, is really pulling through the stroke in the follow-through. And so that left arm, in essence, swings. And you don't want your left wrist to break down and toss it. And if you do that, that's when the arm lock would come off. But typically, when you're going left-hand low, it's the same kind of philosophy, where a belly putter is a little bit of a different philosophy. A belly putter, there's a little bit more release. The putter head passes the grip end of the club a little bit more. So I think the philosophy matches up with what Xander's been doing. And this is just a little add-on. But Rick, did you see in the end, I don't know if you saw the NCAAs at all, but out in your neck of the woods, Scottsdale, out in the Southwest, there were so many kids using the arm lock putter.
I saw that.
Yeah, I think we're going to start to see a lot more of this.
I'm going to try it. I don't know. I don't even know how to start.
You should. Yeah. Well, first things first, you got to get yourself a...
I got to get myself... Can I do this with my normal putter? Do I have to get... Is it the grip that's longer or the putter that's longer?
No, the putter's longer, and they got to weight it, and you got to get the right kind of shot. I mean, it's something that they really look into. A lot of times they'll add loft. For instance, I want to say... I may be wrong on this, so I probably should. I want to say Charles Schwartzel has like 9 degrees of loft on his putter, because arm lock
thing is
you lean. Yeah. So he has that the shaft goes into the back of the putter, and typically you got to add a little loft. So to do it right, if you're going to try, Rick, or anyone watching or listening, you got to do it right, the shaft's going to be a little bit longer, well, a lot longer. The head's probably going to be a little bit heavier to get the balance correct. You may need some sort of stability shaft, because when the shaft gets that much longer and you add that much more weight, the shaft can actually start to flex. So you'll see Bryson with a stability shaft of some sort. It's definitely a process, but everything that I've heard is it's great. I personally have tried it. It's not my... It would take a little bit of getting used to for me, I think, but I'm generally for the philosophy.
Well, I'm actually getting fit for a putter and wedges next week, so maybe it'll come up. Maybe I'll try out the old arm lock. We have to talk about the odds to win this golf tournament. They're very interesting. We are going to pull up the odds via our friends at William Hill, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up. to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
And we're back. The betting board. I don't know what to really do with these guys, and I'm not even sure. William Hill just had odds up. Here we go. Morikawa at 4-1, Greg, is the favorite to win this golf tournament. However, you have someone like a Bryson DeChambeau at 8-1, who is currently 2-under through three holes. You have John Rahm. He's in the clubhouse. He's done. He's 3-under. I'm trying to find some guys that played maybe this afternoon. Okay, Cantlay, -1 through three holes. He's 16-1. How in the world are we reconciling the golfers who have played the entirety of their opening round versus some that have only played three holes?
Well, I would feel much safer with guys who have a round in the books. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But a guy like John Rahm is very interesting to me at 3-under. Regardless of what everybody does tomorrow, when all the rounds are done, the results at the end of round one aren't really going to change my opinion. I'm looking at a John Rahm who's right now he shot 3-under. Let's say that. So he's 3 back. Mm-hmm. He'll be within striking distance pretty much no matter what. I don't see anybody shooting a 59 or something where you'd be 10 back. I don't think that's going to happen. So if you want to get a little action in on a John Rahm or a Xander Schauffele, I feel like that's safe. The problem with the guys like Jordan Spieth or Bryson or somebody who hasn't played that many holes, in my opinion, is if you get off to a shaky start tomorrow, man, it can be a really long day. And not having
that's a good point.
Right. Now, conversely,
if you get going, you don't want to stop and you shoot two low ones. Yeah.
And it is the morning time. But I don't know. It doesn't feel as it's a little bit more. I would say the risk or the volatility, as you say, is a little greater. Yeah. And I don't know if you think, Rick, that the odds kind of portray that. What do you like? What would you?
I don't
consider it fair, unfair.
No,
doesn't feel right to me.
No, it doesn't, because guys like, I mean, what was Spieth to open this event? He was 14-1, 16-1,
14 or 16. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's 11-1. He's played three holes. So he's dry. Like I don't, I know he's under par, but it's three holes. I just think that books don't want to get burnt here. So I actually like that. If there were guys that, you know, maybe got longer, and I'm trying to just flip through these and see who plays, you know, I'm not going to go through every single player, but guys who have a lot of holes to play whose odds got longer would be much more appealing. But I don't know if those guys exist, Greg, because you're right. They might catch fire. They shouldn't be penalized for only playing three holes. And if their odds got longer, I'd be more interested in that. But off the top, right, that's not going to be a stud. It's going to be some of the mid-tier guys, I think, that are going to fit that category, because the books they're not going to get burnt on studs.
So how do you feel about if you are interested in one of those guys that's only played three rounds, Bryson, Jordan, how do you feel about doing a first round leader kind of a play on that? You shorten the term a little bit and you say, okay, in 15 holes, Bryson will catch Colin Morikawa.
That's interesting.
Because I'm seeing this this first round leader thing here, and Bryson's mm-hmm. plus 650 to be the first round leader. Jordan Spieth's plus 1600. I mean,
yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
That interests me a little bit more, because you only got in 15 holes, he's got to get to 6-under or better. I feel like there's a realistic chance that Jordan could do that. If he plays every three hole stretch for the mm-hmm. remainder of the first round and 1-under, he'll catch Colin Morikawa. It's that simple. It's probably easier done than said, but
And he is actually, yeah, it's okay. We know what you mean. And he has actually played, I mean, not the hardest holes, but he's played two holes that were playing over par. I mean, Spieth's already beating the field average pretty significantly through three holes. So he's got the easier holes coming. This might not be a bad way to do it. Just embrace the volatility.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I mean, if you feel like you want to somehow take advantage of this stoppage, I like going after a first round leader more than a tournament winner at this point, unless there's a guy who's done who you like. If you like Rom, I like Rom. I wouldn't be afraid of going in Rom's direction at this point. Maybe you already have him, but I do like adding a little bit of action on the first round leader.
If we just forgot about that, there are guys still to play. The guy who would fit the model would be JT, who's leading the field in strokes gained tee to green, leading it in strokes gained approach by a pretty significant margin. That's his bread and butter. That was the one thing we were worried about for his last two starts. He's been horrible at. This is much more vintage JT, and we know what can happen when vintage JT gets out there.
Yeah. Do you think this is it's a silly question. So it sounds like you feel like this is the last couple of weeks was kind of an anomaly, and this is here to stay. It's not a surprise. It's not going to last one day. This is for real.
No, that's
exactly worried about the putting with him.
He's still, but that's what he does. He lost two strokes putting or a little under two strokes putting, but that's what he does. That is vintage JT, right? Like, that's what I mean. Like, this is what I would expect. And he'll finish T7 losing five strokes putting. You know what I mean? It's just because that's kind of the way he does it.
Right. At least he's hitting it better.
Right. That's the thing. Lean into your weapon. All right. I think that'll do it. This has been your day one recap of the Memorial. Greg will be back for day two, which will be at some point. I think we're gonna have to probably wait until the sun goes down on Friday, right? That's when we're gonna do
at least the sun, where at least where I am. I don't know if you're in still a mountain range out there in Jupiter West, but
yes, when the sun goes down in Dublin, Ohio is probably when we'll be firing this podcast up. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. It does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.